Hey everybody, welcome to the Surgery Set. I'm Jonathan Kohler, an assistant professor of surgery here at UW-Madison, home of the Badgers. This is a podcast about surgery and the individuals who are at the cutting edge of it, and we're glad you're here.
Today we have the opportunity to interview Dr. Sarah Tevis, who is a general surgery resident here at the University of Wisconsin. Dr. Tevis is a longtime Wisconsinite, having grown up in rural Wisconsin, and has been at the University of Wisconsin here ever since. Her achievements are many. She has received her MD from the University of Wisconsin, and during her general surgery residency, spent 2 years in Dr. Gregory Kennedy's lab, where she studied surgical outcomes, quality improvement, and patient safety. In addition to her work in the lab, Dr. Tevis has also acted as the founding chair and active member of the Resident Quality and Safety Committee, where she's implemented quality improvement projects across the hospital, as well as the Division of General Surgery. Today, Dr. Tevis gave an excellent grand rounds about quality metrics in surgery, and we're fortunate to have her insights as we get her thoughts on some contemporary issues in surgery. So the first I would ask is, how did you become interested in surgical quality as opposed to basic science or other health services research?
So when I started my time in the lab with Dr. Kennedy, we were working on some outcomes research projects. And while I enjoyed kind of learning how to use large data sets and doing statistics and answering questions that I thought were important in surgical postoperative outcomes, I felt like we weren't really addressing the problems. We were just pointing out that complication rates were high or readmission rates were high or bad things were happening to patients. And so that led me to develop an interest in looking at ways we could actually make changes to patient care to change those poor outcomes that we were identifying.
You know, the care of human beings is really complex, and there are so many facets to taking care of a biologic system and measuring outcomes when probably the interventions that we provide are just a small part of the importance, and there's so many inherent challenges of an individual human being. We know that from a lot of evaluations of NISQIP and others, for example, that having a specific quality improvement program in place is not necessarily the thing that matters. It's that you just are even measuring your outcomes. That you have a quality improvement program is not the most important thing, but the act of measuring and having a hospital-wide commitment to acknowledging variability within your system is the most important. If you were in charge of the world and you had an intervention to improve the delivery of surgical care across the United States, what would that intervention be?
I think you kind of alluded to it. I think that what's most important is to work in a place where you have a really great culture of safety, where every member of the organization is focused on the patient and what's best for the patient. And I think that by continuously assessing the quality of care that we provide for patients, and also being focused on identifying problems and reporting problems and trying to solve problems to prevent near misses and adverse events from happening in our patients is really important.
One of the challenges we have is risk adjustment, right? Surgeons always think their patients are sicker than the next, just like we all think we're better drivers than everybody. And so what do you think is the best risk adjustment tool when we're looking at populations of patients that we see?
So I think that NISQIP has done a nice job of developing an online calculator to predict adverse outcomes in patients postoperatively. And they've shown that they've been able to predict pretty accurately what complication rates and readmission rates and mortality rates will be in patients after surgery. I think it would be nice if we had more specialty-specific data sets that looked at variables that are more common in certain patient populations and also looked at poor outcomes that are specific to patient populations and certain surgical populations. Because I think if we had large data sets looking, for example, at surgical oncology patients, you might be able to identify more accurately what things constitute a sicker patient in that patient population, as opposed to looking at the whole NISQIP database and including all surgical patients.
At a 30,000-foot view, again, kind of at the policy level, who should be in charge of which quality metrics we adhere to? Is that the government? Is that insurers? Is that patients? Who should be in charge of that?
The argument I tried to make in my talk this morning is that as surgeons, we should really take a leadership role in identifying what metrics constitute a high surgical quality of care. I feel like we should know more than people in the government and insurance companies what is high surgical quality. And so I think surgeons so far haven't been very involved in developing quality metrics or working to decide what's important as quality metrics. And so going forward, I think we need to have a bigger role in that.
So you nicely alluded in your talk today about patients and patient-reported outcomes and patient satisfaction. We have all these press Gini scores and all that. Where does patient satisfaction fit in? And some critics of using patient satisfaction reporting is that patients have an unrealistic idea of what quality care is in the United States, and that there's a certain amount of entitlement that cannot be the standard of care because it's just not realistic. What are your thoughts about that?
So I think we can always do a better job of setting expectations for patients preoperatively. The thing that patients told us after we implemented our enhanced recovery after surgery protocol that they thought made the most difference was the preoperative teaching that we provided both in the clinic and with materials that patients could review at home. We also encourage patients on that protocol to bring someone with them to their preoperative visit as another set of ears to hear about what we expected their postoperative course to be and also what we expected of them postoperatively. And they felt like having another person there helped them to synthesize that information and have someone who could remind them later about what we had discussed in the clinic before surgery.
Okay. And finally, you also alluded to this in your talk, the cost of care in the United States for the outcomes that we achieve is roughly double that of other industrialized countries. Do you believe that payment for medical care should be tied to quality? And if you do or you do not, how should payment for medical care be established?
I think if we can develop quality metrics that as physicians we agree are important in the care of patients and that we can show lead to better patient outcomes and more patient-centered care, I think that tying payment to quality metrics is a reasonable idea. It does definitely increase the awareness of those metrics once we tie reimbursement to them. Ever since readmission started getting tied to reimbursement, there's been an increased interest in studying readmission rates, and the same is now happening with patient satisfaction scores. So tying things to reimbursement definitely increases awareness about those metrics. We just need to make sure that we're measuring things that we agree with as surgeons.
And then really lastly, a significant amount of healthcare delivery takes place in a rural setting, and the providers and hospitals in those settings have fewer resources than hospitals and providers in bigger centers. Should rural providers be held to the same standard as urban providers?
I think that the patient populations are likely different in those settings than they are in a larger academic institution. And so it may be that when we're talking about specialty-specific metrics and measuring quality in surgical subspecialties, it may be that rural general surgery is kind of its own surgical subspecialty when we're talking about developing quality metrics and ways of assessing quality of care in those patients.
Thank you, Dr. Tevis.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoy the Surgery Set or have suggestions on how we can make our program better, please provide us with your feedback. You can rate our podcast and leave your comments on iTunes, Podbean, or Stitcher. Or you can send us an email at podcast@surgery.wisc.edu. Check back next time when we talk with Dr. Jo Bieske. She's the Associate Executive Director and Director of Evaluation at the American Board of Surgery. You'll hear all about the future of resident education from an expert who's working to implement change.
I think we have to reframe that this is a thing for life. You know, life doesn't go on hold for your training. You know, you still live. And so it's not just a block of time to, like, get through. It's a part of the long process. So I think culturally we have to refocus on that. And
The Surgery Set is a production of the Department of Surgery at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. This episode was produced by Veronica Watson and myself. It was recorded by Chris Hansen and edited by Alex Worley. Our theme song is On Wisconsin, arranged and produced by Jamie Schmidt. I encourage you to visit us at surgery.wisc.edu, where you can find links to grand rounds, free CME credits, and more. You can also check out the UW School of Medicine and Public Health video library for a wide range of medical education resources at videos.med.wisc.edu. In addition, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher, and of course you can follow us on social media. You can like our Facebook page and also find us on Twitter at Wisc Surgery or at J.E. Kohler, that's K-O-H-L-E-R. Please feel free to let us know how we're doing and don't hesitate to let us know of any topics you'd like us to cover. Thanks, we hope you check back soon. On Wisconsin.